Don't you forget that little Samuel Ellis tomorrow in your special prayers also. I don't know what they didn't say what time his surgery was. When I find out, I'll send a text out there. Probably early, I would think, bro. Miss Peel has a doctor's visit Friday. Man, they gonna tell her that Mr. Peel's been stressing her out. No, you pray for that, amen. God will touch that need there also, amen. Amen. Miss, somebody's here, they're here, amen. We had some others sick, but thank God, amen. God's good, ain't he? Amen. Well, Avery's got a MRI on his elbow where he had that pin put in. They're going to do a little checking out, make sure everything's all right. Other than meanness in him, I think he's all right, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 13. Look down in verse 18 through verse 25 will be our scriptures tonight as we go through the book of Hebrews. As I look back in my notes, if my notes are right, amen, it's been April 2015 is when we started our study in the book of Hebrews. It's almost 2 years we've been studying, so it's probably about, I don't know, Richie probably could tell you better than I could, 80 or 90 messages on the book of Hebrews that God has given us. And we've been able to go through it together as a church family. Lord willing, we'll be starting the book of Joshua. No, the book of Judges. One book next. The Judges is where we'll be going next, Lord willing. So you'd be praying about that. Amen. We'll try to finish this up tonight. Look in verse 17 and get a little context of what's going on. This is the verse we looked at last week. I kind of give you a little bit of this outline of this message coming up the other week, but he says in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. In whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And it says down in the postscript, written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. The man that actually wrote it with his hands, of course, from the mouth of Paul. And that could be up to debate with some. Amen. Of course, he wrote the last chapter clearly. Amen. Let's ask God's blessings tonight on our service. Also remember Mr. Miller. Is he still in California? Amen. And pray for Lee Harkey. Amen. Ain't seen him Sunday or tonight.
Josh said he just remembered that Lee left school today with a fever.
Lee's got a fever tonight. Amen. So you pray for him. Amen. How about let him know about the service Friday night, Josh? And all you kids, I want to encourage you. Amen. Be here Friday night. Ronnie's got some things planned to be a blessing and help for our young people growing in the Lord. I know they're going to have some fun playing some games and hanging out and eating, but he's got something from God's Word, God's put on his heart, try to help our youth, and so I'm excited about it, and so I want you to take part in it if it's all possible, amen? Let's ask God's blessings tonight. Brother Ted, how about pray for us, brother?
Lord God, thank you, Lord, for the same Lord that has come out here.
Yes.
Tonight, Lord Jesus, for a great will be done here tonight, Lord Jesus, thank you for singing that so far, Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you, take care of all our missionaries and make it possible.
God, right, help them, yes.
Praise both of you, Lord. Right now, pray, bless everything that goes on here tonight, Lord. Let us take in everything that's been said, Lord Jesus. Let us live by it, Lord. Just have mercy on us, Lord. We just are weak, feeble people, Lord, just need some help from you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. I gave you this outline a few weeks ago on a pastor's heart. Amen. Dealing with the pastoral issue here in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Verse 7 again says, remember them that have the rule over you. That would be the pastor. I mean, in the context, you could make spiritual application. It could be a lot of people over you. It could be your parents. It could be some boss man. Amen. It could be our government officials. He said, remember them that have the rule over you. Here's the kicker, though. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Then in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. A pastor's heart, amen. He leaves this exhortation to obey them that have the rule over you, and then Paul begins to give this exhortation, and you can look at these verses 18 through 25 and begin to see the heart of the pastor, or the heart of the man of God. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12, verse 34, the last part of that verse, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you can tell a lot about a man's heart by what he's speaking out of his mouth. And what we have is what's been spoken out of Paul's mouth in verse 18 and verse 25 about this issue in the context of the pastor's heart. He leaves to obey them that have the rule over you, submitting yourself and the things that are accountable for him and for others to do. But then he says in verse 18, pray for us. That us, meaning possibly Timothy, the one that wrote it by his hand, that was with him, maybe some, at least those two that are there. He says, pray for us. Of course, he mentions Timothy again down near the end of the chapter, amen. Also, in verse number 23, so he's prayed for us, for we trust, we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. And what you see in these first two verses here in the pastor's heart is his dependency on his people. A pastor has a dependency on his people, amen. Hey, I don't know if you realize or not, but I need you in the ministry. Just as much, and not any flattery in any kind of way, but just the way God ordered, as you need me to direct you in the ways of righteousness, amen, and to watch for your soul in the context here. But I need you. Paul knew his position, but he also knew his need for the people. He said in verse 18, pray for us. There's a dependency on the people, amen. He said, for we trust, we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. So he said, I want to have a good conscience before you. I want to live honestly before you, but I need your prayers for me, verse 8 and 19, but I beseech you the rather to do this, to do what? Pray for us. That's what he's beseeching them to do, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Amen. Hey, Paul knew that he needed prayer, the prayers of God's people. Amen. Do you know there's something important you can do for the man of God is to pray for him? And you look at those that have the rule over you, you can say, well, children ought to pay for their parents, you know. Hey, you're to pray for your boss, man. It'd be bad to pray for him. It might make it a little bit easier at the job. Amen. Hey, but surely you ought to pray for the man that's watching out for your soul, who's delivering unto you the word of God, that you ought to submit yourself to him, and you ought to pray for the man of God. I wonder how many people pray for the man of God before they come to church. That God would give him the unction to deliver the word of God. That God would give my Sunday school teacher something to feed me from the word of God. Hey, pray for those that are delivering into you the word of God. Paul knew that he had a dependency for his people. I realize I need the prayers of God's people. Amen. Not only do I need them, my wife needs them, my children need them, our whole family needs the prayers of the church on our behalf. Hey, why do we need prayers? Let me show you a little bit of what Paul said here. Look in Romans 15. His dependency on the people. Pray for us. Pray for what? Well, let's look what the Bible says. In Romans, he says, pray for us for deliverance. Pray for deliverance. What kind of deliverance do you need? We're looking at Romans 15:30. Romans 15:30. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers. Are you striving together with the man of God with your prayers to God for who? Me, Paul, the man of God, speaking to the Romans, he says, hey, I want you to pray and strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. For what, Paul? What do you need? Look in verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have in Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. What did he pray? He prayed for deliverance. Amen. You know, there's a lot of opposition against the man of God. I mean, if anybody is the devil's shooting at, he's shooting at the man of God. Hey, I know he's shooting at you as an individual, but he's shooting at the man of God. There's a great target, amen. He can derail the man of God. Maybe those that are looking to him, that he's trying to lead in the ways of righteousness, they'll fall also, amen. Oh, brother Ziegler used to say, no, you're not, they'd shoot from the wall. Hey, the closer you get, amen, the more they're going to be aiming at you. You need to pray for the man of God for deliverance from him, that he won't fall into sin, that he won't shipwreck his life, that he won't blow his marriage, that he won't derail his children living for God. Hey, I need deliverance in my life, amen. I got a wicked flesh that gets half a chance to do just as wrong as your will, maybe not even more. I need to be delivered from my flesh, but also need to be delivered from the opposition of this old world. You know the world hates the man of God. If the man of God's going to stand in his community and preach this King James Bible, he's going to be attacked by the religious society of our area. People in our neighborhood are going to throw darts at the man of God and try to bring a railing accusation against the man of God, that he might be delivered from them, he said, in Judea, and that in Jerusalem he might be accepted by the saints. Do you pray for deliverance for the man of God? Hey, do you pray for when the preacher goes out of town to preach a meeting that God would give him the message to preach, and that, hey, that the saints would accept the word of God that's being preached? Amen. I want you to know tonight, I need your prayer. I got a dependency on you. I need you to petition the throne room of grace for my account. Amen. I need that. Amen. Look what he said in verse 32. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So he said he needs prayers. His dependence on the people. What does he need? He needs prayer for deliverance. What else does he need? Look in Ephesians 6. He needs prayer for boldness. You know, the man of God needs prayer for boldness. Why did he went and back down? Pray for the preacher that he'd stand up straight on this whole book. Amen. And say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done. And he wouldn't back down, amen, by the pressure of his peers or the pressure of leaders in the church. Maybe the deacon's trying to put pressure on the man of God. He needs boldness to stick with the word of God. Hey, might be pressure on tithers, amen. We're going to go take our tithes somewhere else and go somewhere else. And he just still stand on the word of God and trust God, amen. He needs boldness to stand for the Lord. No matter who it affects, no matter how much money it might take out of the plate or how many pews might be vacated, he needs boldness to preach the word of God. Amen. I need your prayers on that behalf. And the devil wouldn't play with my mind and say, well, if you say that, what you think is going to happen there? No, and I got to have a clear conscience before God and man. He talks about that conscience. We'll look at it in a minute. And he's going to stick with the book and stay what God says and not be influenced by somebody else or what they might think of him. Paul said, I need prayer from you. And what does he need? If we look at the other books that he wrote, he needed prayer for deliverance, but he also needed prayer for boldness. Look at Ephesians 6, verse number 18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for who? He said, for me. Paul said, I need your prayers. What do you need prayers for now? Look what he says. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. He said, pray for my boldness. Pray that no matter if they put me in jail, in this case the bonds that he was up against and how the religious society of his day was against him, he said, I need to stand up with this book. I need to stand up with God. And apparently maybe there were some thoughts in his mind about it up a little bit. Maybe make it a little bit easier. Amen. He knew his need for prayer. He needed boldness. He needed to stand firm. I need your prayers. Amen. There's a dependency on the man of God. You're to pray that he be bold. I would just pray he'd just kind of mellow out a little bit. I just pray that he'd just stop sticking with being so straight. Amen. Oh, pray for boldness, man. That he just stick with what's right. Paul said, pray. Look in Colossians chapter number 4. He needs prayer for deliverance. He needs prayer for boldness. Here's another one. He needs prayer for open door of utterance. Do you pray that the man of God would preach boldly? Do you pray that the devil would stay off of him when he's delivering the word of God? I mean, you don't think the devil's trying to attack the man of God when he's preaching the book?
Amen.
I mean, anytime any of you try to do something for the Lord, the devil's going to try to fight it. I mean, the ultimate example, and we ain't never going to reach that pinnacle of our Lord Himself, where the Bible speaks about in the book of Psalms, where the bulls of Bashan compassed Him about when He was on Calvary dying for our sins. That was a satanic attack against Him, amen. It might have been in a form of soldiers, and it might have been a form of Pilate, it might have been a form of somebody with a whip, but it was a satanic force behind these men attacking the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was a satanic attack against anybody that'll stand up for God's book and stand up for God's word, and that could be you or me, but in the context we're dealing with the issues of a pastor and his heart, he needs the dependency of God's people. They would pray for deliverance from him and boldness for him, and that there might be utterance to preach the word of God.
Amen.
I think the devil's fighting, amen. You ever hear preachers leave out and say, man, I hear it all the time. Preachers come to our church and they say, man, I don't know what it is, but there's just so much liberty in this church to preach. That's a compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a great compliment, amen. That the people are receptive to the King James Bible. That you can open up this book and they're not going to fight against it and kick against it. There's liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. The Bible said there is liberty, and there's liberty in this place. And I need your prayers that there be liberty and utterance in the Word of God. And I won't be stumbling around on my words trying to think of something the devil's attacking my mind to try to keep me from being clear and delivering the message. I need utterance to preach the book. Amen. Pray for liberty in the man of God's message. Amen. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. For what? With all praying for us. With all praying also for us. That God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. You see that utterance? That it might be uttered like it ought to be spoken, if you will. That it might come forth clearly, that people might receive the word of God. Amen. I like preaching with liberty. I don't like preaching and getting in the car, and my wife says, you sure were struggling today, weren't you?
Yeah.
I'm like, I appreciate that, amen. I thought I'd done pretty good.
Yeah.
She's honest, amen. She tells me like it is. Man of God needs prayers. Prayers for deliverance. He needs prayers for boldness. He needs prayers for utterance. The word of God. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Prayers. Pray for us. There's a dependency. The man of God has a dependency on his people. You might think, well, preacher, there's nothing I can do in the church. You can pray, man. And according to the word of God and Paul's exhortation for people to pray for him, that is not some minor task in a church. Well, a lot of times we look at offices in the church. We know there's two ordained offices, the pastor and the deacons. And we know there's things that that keep the church functioning with Sunday school teachers and the secretary and the mission given and working of it, amen, and taking up an offering and things that, and somebody cleaning and taking care of issues in the church. And all of it helps the thing function the way that it should. And probably nobody thinks about when they think about things that people do in the church, think about somebody praying. I mean, if we went around tonight and handed out lists of paper and say, list things what people do in the church. And you listed probably the things that I just said. The nursery, you know, cutting grass, things we do. And probably we probably wouldn't have out of this crowd, 10 people would have said prayer. And Paul mentions it over and over. And the devil puts it in your mind, well, it ain't really nothing you can do. If you're praying, you're doing a whole lot. You're doing a whole lot, amen. And you're doing those things that God sees. And where we have trouble is doing those things that only God sees. That's what makes prayer one of the hardest things you can do.
Amen.
You know, there's other things we mentioned. Somebody sees it, amen. There's accountability with people, but nobody's seeing anybody praying. Nobody knows you're in your prayer closet at home and you're lifting up the man of God and lifting up the saints of God. But God's looking down on it, and it is a very important thing. That's why Paul over and over and over exhorted the people in almost every book that he wrote that, hey, pray for us. Hey, keep me in your prayers. I need deliverance. I need boldness. I need utterance. And I need the word of God to go forth with free course that it might affect the hearts of people. Amen.
Amen.
He knew the need of prayer. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Finally, brother. What does he say? Pray for us. Finally, I'm at the end of it. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You see the dependency of the man of God? Look back in Hebrews chapter 13 with me. He has a dependency on his people. I need your prayers. Hey, when we get to this thing at the judgment seat of Christ, and God's rewarding us for the works of that He's given us, and He's rewarding this man of God as the under shepherd. That's why I told you the other day, I think it's got a lot to do with not only just the man of God, but those that are in the pew also. That we'll be rewarded collectively for what we've done. That I've delivered you the word of God. That you prayed for me and lifted me up. This thing works together. Amen. It's a two-edged sword. Amen. Hey, my job is easier when you do what you do. Amen. And it's easier for you to receive what you need from God when I do what I ought to do. It all works together good. Amen. I need your prayers. Amen. You need me to be in my Bible, and you need me to be in my study. Amen. Just like it said over there in the book of Acts when they chose out deacons to serve tables. Amen. That the man of God might give himself continually to the word of God and prayer. You need me praying on your behalf. You need me in my Bible. You need me studying, seeking God, and bringing you something to be fed. And I need you to pray for me that God to be feeding me the word of God, that God to give me understanding of the word of God, and that when he gives it to me to help me write it down in clarity, that he might give me the deliverance from all the opposition that's against me while I'm trying to lead the flock of God and have boldness in the midst of all that we're up against, and utterance to speak the word of God and the word of God to go in free course. I need your prayers. Amen. Amen. You getting that tonight? I need you to pray for me. My wife needs you to lift her up in prayer. My youngest needs you to lift him up in prayer. There's a dependency for the man of God that's in his heart. He knows he needs God's people. Amen. He ain't going to make it without you. We need one another. Look what he said in verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience. So the prayer, then he says, we trust we have a good conscience. You know, when you look at this thing, good conscience, man, you're talking about a study in itself, and we've looked at it some in the past, and we've done messages on it. But if you wanted some side study on your own, nobody mentioned the conscience more than Paul did. Matter of fact, if I'm calling to my memory right, I think the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned it once. I think Peter mentioned it three times, and all the other references is to Paul, if you count the ones that are in Hebrews being Paul's writing also. Nobody else. Conscience. A conscience, a clear conscience. You got a clear conscience? He said, pray for us. Look, for we trust we have a good conscience. You know, Paul spoke about it over in the book of Acts about the conscience. I've not shunned to declare you all the counsel of God, and I've got a conscience clear before God and you, God and man, you know, the things he spoke about. So the man of God's been delivering you the word of God. Hey, I need prayers that, hey, I've got a clear conscience. When I'm getting up here preaching you the word of God, I'm giving you what God's given me. And a bad conscience is a bad thing, man. Hey, here's what he said, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things willing to live what? Honestly. So honestly is connected with your conscience. You know how to have a good conscience? Just live right. Amen. You know why your conscience is messed up? Because you ain't doing right. Amen. That's that thing up there saying, that ain't right. Yep. I mean, a lost person's got a conscience. Yep. Some people mistake being saved because they got a conscience.
Right.
I mean, the Holy Ghost conviction is a whole lot different than the conscience. Now the Holy Ghost will work through the conscience to speak to you, and you can sear your conscience and mess up that thing. But you got a conscience if you're born in this old world. Don't mistake it for being saved. Amen. He said, we trust we have a good conscience. In all things, willing to live honestly. Honestly, honest life. Amen. How was the man of God living honest? In the context of the man of God, what is he doing to have a good conscience and honesty? Well, look at this right here. I like this. Look in 2 Corinthians 4. How's the man of God's conscience going to be right? 2 Corinthians 4. Look in verse number 2. Hey, look in verse 1. He said, therefore, you see that? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. So the man of God has a ministry, right? Look, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Look at this. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. You got to renounce the dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor, don't miss this, because it's in the context of the ministry and the man of God, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God, what? Deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's what? conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost. And he begins to speak about the gospel there. But he's talking about the conscience of the man of God and the conscience in his ministry. Why? That he's not handled the word of God deceitfully. That he's not used this book, amen, for his platform to get false agendas done or to pat his own self, amen. He's giving you the clear, unadulterated word of God, amen, that just like God spoke it, he's not handled it deceitfully with a clear conscience that I've tried to mind the Lord and give you what thus saith the Lord. If I ever made mistakes, probably have. Ever done something I shouldn't have done? Probably have. Ever even taught something that wasn't true? Probably have. Yep. But I ain't trying to. Amen. I'm trying to mind the Lord. You pray for me that I'd give you the right thing, man. I want to be able to stand up with a clear conscience. I've not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God, Paul said. And I've got a clear conscience on that behalf, he said in the book of Acts. So that conscience, amen, is dependency on the people, amen. So pray for him. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. The conscience, living honestly. An honest life. By the way, it's not just for the man of God. It'd be good for all of us to live honestly. But we're talking about the man of God. Look in chapter 8, verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of what? Don't you want a good conscience? A good one? Look back to Romans. Could have given you this in first, but it's right before Corinthians. Romans 13, 13. If I got it wrote right. Romans 13, 13. Living honestly before God and man. Pray for us. Romans 13, 13 says, let us walk honestly. That's it. Oh, good. Look at verse 12. Well, make some good verses. Well, look in verse 11. And that knowing that the time, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Don't you believe that the coming of the Lord is near? Don't you think we all need a good conscience? By the way, if you're doing wrong, it don't bother you. There's something seriously wrong with you. I don't know. I scratch my head sometimes as a pastor and say, well, how in the world do some members do some of the things they do and have no, it doesn't bother them? There's some things in my mind right now and I'm trying to just wash out and go another way so I don't chase that rabbit. But some things just make you scratch your head. What in the world are they thinking? Could I say that some of you Christians, some of you born again believers, some of you church members do stupid things. Amen. I mean, woo, like, I don't know if you're thinking. Anyhow, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Verse 12, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. There it is. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. How you going to do that? But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. You want to help you live honestly? Put on Christ. Not walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Put on that new man. Amen. Look back in Hebrews 13. The dependency of his people. He has a dependency on them. Pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience. In all things willing to live honestly. Verse 19. Here it is. Context. But I beseech you the rather to do this. Would you pray for me? That I may be restored to you the sooner. Paul apparently was separated from those believers. And he wanted to be restored unto them. I mean, constantly in the Pauline epistles, not in this case here, but in the Pauline epistles, whether he was in jail or under bondage of some situation that he needed deliverance from, and he needed to be restored to God's people, and he was always petitioning them to pray for him to be restored unto them. He said, I want to see you soon. So we see the dependency on his people. Number two, pastor's heart. He has a dependency on his people. But number two, he has a desire for his people. He has a desire for his people. I have a desire for you. I told you that verse. Seems like we've mentioned it a lot lately. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have a desire to see God's people live for God. To live the way they should live. That Christ, you know, do you know that Christ is the answer for all your needs? Are we making that clear right here that Christ is the answer for all your needs? There's a lot of things that God uses that Christ will use to help meet those needs. You know, God will use the church, but the church is not going to meet all your needs. But God will use the church to meet some of those needs in your life. Hey, God will use the Word of God to meet the needs in your life. Amen. Hey, God will use God's people to meet the needs in your life. God will use circumstances to meet the needs in your life. But Christ is all you need. I mean, what do you need more than Jesus Christ? He's the answer to man's soul. He's the answer to man's needs. He's the answer to everything that you're going through. I have a desire that you would walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Paul said, what is it? Philippians 3 verse 10. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Be made conformable unto his death. I have a desire to see you grow in grace and walk with the Lord. And get closer to the Lord and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just be a church attendant that never misses church, and that's a good thing.
Amen.
Not just somebody that reads their Bible every day, and that's a good thing. These are things we promote in your life to help you grow and get to that point. But I want to see a relationship with you in Christ Jesus. That he walks with you, and you walk with him, and he talks with you, and you talk with him. That's what Adam did in the beginning. That's the way God ordained that thing. He walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. A lot of God's people don't have a walk with God. His desire is for his people, amen. Christ will meet all your needs. I mean, there's five needs in this passage that he mentioned here in this subject here in verse 20 and 21. Look at this. Now the God of peace, there he is. So he's the answer for your hostility needs. You ever hostile? You ever seem like everything's going crazy? Look what he says. Now the God of peace. His desire for his people is to see that Jesus Christ is the answer for their hostility. Amen. Hey, what hostility with who? Hostility with Satan. I mean, you got hostility with yourself. And you got hostility with the world system. Amen. I mean, it's all found in the Word of God. Let me just throw them out real quick. Look in Romans 16. He's the need for your hostility. You got hostility with Satan. You know, the devil hates you.
Amen.
He hates you, amen. He wants to destroy you. If you're saved, he can't take you to hell, but he wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony to others around you. He ain't just quit and gave up on you because you got born again, because the blood's been applied. He's made you a target in his life. And God will help you with the battle of Satan. Look at Romans 16, verse number 20. The Bible says this, and the God of peace, there he is, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. So we see that there's a need for God's peace when it comes to God's people dealing with Satan. You need God's peace. Hey, not only we're dealing with Satan, but we're dealing with your own self. Look at this in Philippians 4. I mean, one of your worst enemies, probably the number one enemy, is yourself. So when you look at in the mirror every day, that's who you fight with more than anybody. I mean, I know the devil fights. I know that we got the battle of the world, flesh and the devil, but that flesh is number one, man. He's the top of the list. He's the one you struggle with the most. We think it's our brothers and sisters, and we think it's the devil, and they got their issues and they deal we have to fight with, but our number one enemy is ourselves. You know what people do? We do what we want to do.
Amen.
We do it, we like to blame other things, amen, and everybody else, but you done it. You got an enemy, and it's a hostile enemy, amen, and it's a fight, amen. But Christ is the answer for your hostility. God can give you peace. Look at this in Philippians 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. There's that prayer again. And supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto who? Unto God. Who's your help for your hostility needs? God's going to help you with it.
Amen.
So, preacher, I got trouble with my flesh. I got trouble with all my battles and in my mind. Everything I'm going on. It's just a fight and a hostility every day I wake up. Hey, give it to God. Amen. When's the last time you just laid yourself on the altar of the Lord and say, God, I'm my biggest trouble. I keep opening my stupid mouth. I keep putting my stupid feet where they ought not to go. I keep looking at stupid stuff and touching things I ought not to touch and saying things I ought not to say. It's my stinking flesh. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's what Paul said. He knew that enemy. And what's it do? It robs you of the peace of God. He's the God of peace. That's what he's dealing with here.
Amen.
Look in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. That's you, man. Through who? Christ Jesus. He's the answer. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. There it is, honesty and truth. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But put your mind in the right stuff. God's people's mind's in the gutter. You know why your mind's in the gutter? Because of the stupid stuff you're putting before your eyes. Entering into that gate and going right up in that mind. Watching junk and looking at junk you got no business looking at. And then your mind's all tore up and then your peace is all gone. And then there's a hostility, there's a fight, that battle of that flesh and the spirit. Like we said over and over, you get it. You need to get it, amen. That inner man wants to live for God. That old man wants to live for the world. And there's a battle, and who's going to win? Whichever one you feed the most. You feed this stinking flesh garbage all day long, he's going to drag you all over the place. And you're going to be a carnal believer is what you're going to be. But if you feed that inner man, the Word of God, the house of God, the right people, amen, and just grow in grace and prayer, amen, and get strength to drag the flesh around and get a little victory in your life. No wonder you're stumbling. And we wonder, well, I ain't got no peace. No wonder. No wonder. Look at what you've been doing. Yourself. Look in verse number 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard. That's the man of God there. He's giving it to you. And seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He's going to give you peace. From Satan, from self, and you write this one down, from the world system, 1 Thessalonians 5:22-23. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. And I pray God, your whole body, soul, and spirit might be preserved blameless at the day of the coming of the Lord. He's going to give you help. How are you going to get it? God's the need for your hostility. No wonder there's so much fighting and bickering and carrying on in your life. No peace. You're not coming to the answer. He's the God of peace. Now look, go on. I got a lot to say. He said, verse 20, back in Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace. Here's the desire for his people. He has a desire that they would see Christ as the answer for their hostility. He's not only the answer for your hostility, he's the answer for your mortality. What mortality? Look in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said in 1 Corinthians 15:15? O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? Who's the need for your mortality? So, preacher, I got lost loved ones that's gone on to be with the Lord. Well, God's the answer. Amen. You know what gives you peace with that? Knowing that there's going to be a reunion one day. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. He said Christ is the answer for mortality. Amen. You got things going on in your flesh. You got things that you're battling. Hey, God's going to lay it all down one day. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more sickness. Hey, former things are going to be passed away. Hey, he's conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hey, God, Jesus Christ is the answer for your hostility, and he's the answer for your mortality. Amen. Ain't nothing the devil can't do that God can't conquer. He's the answer. Hey, number 3, he's the answer not only for your hostility and your mortality, he's the answer for your anxiety. Now look in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. Well, how's that answer for my hostility? I mean, you're talking about the great shepherd of the sheep. You know what a shepherd does? He watches out for the sheep. I mean, the Bible uses this term. He calls him in John 10, he calls him the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. You know, he calls him in 1 Peter 5:4, he calls him the chief shepherd, amen. But you know what he calls him in Psalms 23? He calls him my shepherd. Amen. Don't you like that, amen? He's the shepherd of the sheep, I know that. He's the good shepherd, he's not the devil, he's God manifest in the flesh. He's the chief shepherd, he's above them all, but thank God, he's my shepherd, amen. I shall not walk. He's making me to lie down in green pasture. Hey, he's the answer for your anxiety, amen. God is the answer for your life. Amen. He cares for your needs, amen. He's leading you. He's driving the enemy, the wolves away, amen. With his staff and his rod, he's comforting and guiding you. He's my shepherd, amen. That's your answer is Jesus Christ, amen. Why are we so, Vance Havner said this. He said, worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Ain't that pretty good? Worry. It's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. And a lot of God's people are living in anxiety because they don't realize that God is your shepherd. I shall not want. Hey, take it home and read Psalms 23 and really take it as, hey, that's my shepherd. Like old S.M. Locker said, he's my king. You know? You want to listen to something good, man, you pull that up and listen to it. He's my king. He's my God, amen. He's my shepherd. He's the answer for your anxiety. Number 4, he's your answer for your iniquity. I mean, he's the answer, whatever it is, whether it be hostility, whether it be mortality, whether it be anxiety, whether it be our iniquity. He said in the last part of verse 20, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You got problem with iniquity? Jesus Christ is the answer for your iniquity. He's the answer number 5 for your inabilities. Look in verse 21. Make you perfect. Our inabilities. You know, he can do what you can't do. You know, what's that verse, Philippians 2:12? Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. That's what you're to do. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. Be comforted of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said he will make you perfect. He is our needs for our inabilities. God can do what you can't do. You know, only thing God wants is what you got. What's the 2 Corinthians 8? According to what a man hath and not according to what he hath not. God ain't asking you to do something that you're not able to perform. You do what you can and God will do what you can't.
Amen.
He's the answer for your inabilities. Look at this verse, verse 21. Make you perfect. This is the desire for his people, the man of God's heart. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. What? Amen. So we see his dependency in verse 18 and 19 of his people, his desire for his people to see that Christ is all they need. And then we see the dedication to his people in verse 22 through 25. What's his dedication? Well, in verse 22, he gives them the word. Look, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I have written a letter unto you in what? Few words. What is he saying? He says his dedication for his people was to give them the word of God.
Amen.
He's dedicated to feeding them the book. Here's something food for thought to think about. Paul said, I have written unto you in what? Few words. And that's 13 chapters. I mean, that's 2 years of studying. Few words? How could he say few words? When he said over in the book of Galatians, I have written such a large letter unto you, and it's got 5 chapters. You believe you studied up with Paul, and the problem that was wrong with his eye, apparently, that the book of Galatians was written with big letters that could be seen because he wrote it with his hand so he could see. This is written by Timothy, but he said it's few words. It's not a few words. It's a lot of words. Some says it gives the indication that maybe Paul possibly just wrote the 13th chapter, which is very clear. He wrote it. That would be the few words he wrote. Who wrote the other 12? Just food for thought. But he says few words. It's not a few words. It's a lot of words. And then maybe you say, well, it is a few if you really look at the subject that he's dealing with. Maybe that's what he's meaning. I'm just food for thought. I'm giving you something to think about. I don't have all the answers. I don't know it all. My wife say amen right here. You don't never hear me say that. I don't know it all. My youngest will say amen. But I don't have all the answers. But maybe he's saying, because a few words, if you look at the subjects that are dealt with in the book of Hebrews, that is a few words dealing with all those deep subjects in the book of Hebrews that should, you know, could take up massive time. Maybe that's what he meant. But he said few words. There he said it. But what I'm talking about is dedication. That's just food for thought. What is he doing? He's dedication to giving him the word of God. The man of God is a dedication. And is to give God's people God's book. Not only to give them his book, God's book, but also to give them himself to them and others to them. That's his dedication. Look, here's how he ends the book. He says in verse number 23, he says, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly, I will see you. What is the dedication of the man of God? His dedication was to give Timothy to him and to give himself to him. He had a dedication to give people to them that would help them. You know, what my desire is when we have revival or a preacher come around this way? I want somebody that's going to get in this pulpit that are going to give my people something from God's book. That they're going to get something that's going to help them grow in grace and benefit their lives. I kind of look at it like this. We're one, man. We've been spending so much time together since God's put me here that you're going to like what I like.
Amen.
When it comes to preaching, man, we like the same thing. We like somebody to take that King James Bible and preach it, rightly divide it, and give us what we need. And he said, I'm sending Timothy to you. He said, I'm giving myself to you. His dedication was to his people to give them the word of God, verse 22, to give others to them and to give himself to them. That's what he is. We've given my wife, my children, we've given our lives to this work. I'm not saying that in no kind of sympathetic way. It's a joy. I wouldn't know what else to do with my life if I wasn't doing what I'm doing. So it ain't like you're trying to get flattery or somebody to pat you on the back. No, it's the calling of God. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And I go as far as woe is me if I preach not the gospel at this church. This is where God planted me. Dedication to his people. Dedication. He gave himself, he gave him the word of God, and he gave him God's grace, man. Look in verse 25. The grace be with you all. Amen. I mean, you write these down. I'll give them to you, but it's in the book of Hebrews. The grace of God. He ends here. The grace be with you all. Amen. In Hebrews 2 verse 9, by God's grace, Jesus Christ, here's the way it's worded. It's worded with God's grace and what happened. This is not exactly the words. I'm not paraphrasing. Not the script. I'm not quoting the scripture. Hebrews 2, 9. By the grace of God, Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. That's what he did by the grace of God. He tasted death for all. Jesus Christ died for whosoever will. Number two, Hebrews 4, verse 16. Jesus now sits at the throne of grace to hear our prayers. Isn't it amazing the order that thing's laid out with the grace of God in the book of Hebrews? He tasted death for all men. Now he's seated at the throne of grace to hear our prayers, Hebrews 4, 16. Then if you go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, those who refuse salvation insult the Spirit of His grace. You know, if you're lost and you're saying, I don't want Jesus Christ, I'll get saved later, you're insulting His grace. We say, well, God wouldn't send me to hell. Well, He's sending you exactly where you want to go. You're insulting His grace. You're spitting in the face of Jesus, telling Him no. You think God's going to say, okay, I'm just glad you didn't accept my son. You thought you were good enough to save yourself. Go ahead and go into heaven. You're fooling yourselves. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, 29, those who refuse salvation insults the Spirit of His grace. Then in Hebrews 13, 9, finally we see our lives are to be established by His grace. He saved us. He's interceding for us. He's insulted by those that won't receive Him. And we as God's people, our lives are established by the grace of God. That's what the songwriter wrote about in Amazing Grace. It's the grace that saved us, and the grace that's brought us this far, and it's grace that's going to take us home. And he ends the book in verse 25, grace be with you all. Amen. I mean, where would we be without the grace of God? So we see the pastor's heart. His heart is his dependency on his people. You know what I need? I need you to pray for me. I need you to lift me and my wife, my children, up in prayer. I need you to pray for our ministry. I need you to pray that God would give me something to preach and deliver to you. I mean, you hang around one church long enough, I mean, you run out of sermons. I need some fresh meat, man.
Amen, brother.
Well, most of y'all don't listen half the time. I'd probably repeat everything I said last year, and we'd be all right, you know. But we don't want that. You want fresh bread. That's like the manna that fell down over there for Israel. It was fresh every morning. You want something fresh. Now, I need your prayers. I have a desire to see you grow in grace and to walk with the Lord and have a relationship with Him. And then we see the dedication to His people. Thus ending the book of Hebrews. Amen. Everybody stand.